This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome aboard. My name is Adam Ritz. This is The Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs and we have fun doing it. And joining me on the phone is Jay Baker, our co-host and sidekick. Jay, how's it going?
It is going well. Yes, your faithful sidekick as we delve into the world of public affairs. You know, public affairs have been around and they're here to help Americans navigate all the various health and social things. And I feel like we save you the time. You don't have to doom scroll through hours of social media. We do that for you.
We do it for you, and we'll hopefully make your life easier. And most of our affiliates and radio stations are airing this broadcast on a Sunday morning. And that means later this evening, the time changes. This week, Sunday, March 9th is daylight savings time.
I'm already interrupting you, Mr. Science.
Oh, it's Saturday night into Sunday?
If it happens, if you are listening to the show on Sunday, it has already occurred in the middle of the night. The clock actually springs forward. So they actually add an additional hour to the day.
Okay, so we already took care of this. We already added an hour to the day while you were sleeping. So while you woke up this morning, you have an extra hour of daylight moving forward through the spring.
Right. And, you know, I know a lot of people get confused about this. Science really likes to pull this apart because it is moderately stressful to humans. In fact, there is actually an incidence of heart attacks that go up on this day due to overall stress. So we don't want you to have a heart attack, but daylight savings is based on, as the evening wears on, many people get off work, let's say at 5 o'clock. Typically, depending on where you live, it starts getting dark about 7:30, 8 o'clock. If we artificially sort of play with the time, now you come home from work and it may stay light till 9 or 9:30 in your neighborhood, depending on where you live, etc.
It is the greatest to have all this time to walk your neighborhood, do some yard work. I mean, in the heat of the summer, you can even, like you said, get home from work around 5:30. You've still got a couple of hours by the pool.
Yeah, it is. It's good. But this is, as with everything, Adam, it's not without a bit of controversy. You probably have heard over the last couple years, there are people that are sort of moving to abolish the so-called daylight savings time. Ironically, that's the one we're dealing with here. Daylight savings time gets increased in the springtime and decreased in the fall.
Okay, so let's get your opinion on the matter. Let's say it's up to me and you to decide this once and for all for the entire country. Which way do you swing on this? Do you want to keep it or get rid of it?
I am voting to keep it, and here's why. I think the benefit to people having extra daylight in the warmer weather months for most of the United States outweighs the inconvenience or potential stress of moving the clocks. I have always felt like about a week and a half after you move the clock, your body just doesn't feel that sensation that the time is off. So I am still a fan of doing it. And the only reason I bring that up, we were in a state that for a very long time, much like Arizona, never changed the time, daylight savings time or standard time. We stayed the same. We then moved to daylight savings time, and I think it's been largely positive.
I will throw my vote the same way. I want to keep it, and here's my reason. I love that the sun sets at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night in the summer. I love it. And it completely outweighs my hatred for the sun setting so early in the winter, because if the sun set 2 hours later in the winter, my life would still be miserable because I hate the cold weather. So, yeah. You know, I'm not in the South. We're in the northern part of the country. So in, you know, January, February, yeah, it stinks that it's getting dark around 5:30 in the afternoon. But let's face it, it's 29 degrees and I'm not doing anything outside anyway.
Well, and here's another interesting point about what you just said. And this is something that a lot of people don't necessarily factor in. But if you look at the incidence of sunny days in your climate, when I say climate, like you live in the state of Michigan or Iowa or Indiana or Illinois, those states don't have as many sunshine days as California, Arizona, Florida, etc. Those states are better known for the film industry. Even the state of Georgia has a decent amount of sun. We talked about that the other day, that Georgia has a booming film industry. Why? Because you can reliably shoot a film in Georgia because you have enough sunny days. If you try and shoot a film in Michigan, with due respect, we love Michigan as a state, but it is a state that doesn't have a lot of sunny days. Daylight savings is sort of directed at getting more sun. And if you think about it, with some states, getting more sun is never a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all. And this is that time of year when depression and seasonal depression seems to lift. I've noticed just within myself driving home from work the last couple of weeks, it's still light out and I love it. So I'm happy to say goodbye to winter and hello to spring. And Jay, I thought we'd go over some of the home maintenance checks that experts say you should do twice a year. And a lot of people do this when their clocks are changing, just because it's a great time to remember to do these tasks around your house. So
it helps you remember. Yeah, absolutely.
Later this year in November is when we'll fall back with the clock change. You can do these things in November and you do them this weekend with your spring forward clock chains. First on the list, smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. Check those batteries. Test
always
the functionality.
A great idea.
Maybe even just replace the batteries. I mean, even if they work or they seem to be new, you know, what's the cost of a couple batteries compared to keeping your family safe?
Well, and you and I have talked about this. What is the default to your smoke detector when the battery is low? It likes to beep. We have found that beep oftentimes occurs about an hour and a half after you've gone to sleep.
That's right. No.
So that little 9-volt battery, which is probably on sale at your local hardware store, will save you that much vexation.
Yeah, that battery never seems to fade out, you know, right after you eat lunch on a Saturday. It's always at 2 or 3 a.m. The emergency kit in your house, maybe it's under your sink in the master bedroom, in the vanity. Check the expiration dates on everything inside your emergency kit to make sure everything's up to speed, even the food and water you might have as emergency rations. Replace any outdated items. Heating and cooling systems. I know you're big on changing your filters. A lot of people do it every month.
Oh, yes.
For certain, without question, you should do it at least twice a year. This is a good time to remind yourself to do it.
Here's why it's a great idea as well, Adam. Not only is it kind of healthy for the air in your house to have a new filter, in my opinion, but have you priced replacing HVAC equipment if putting a new filter helps it run a little bit more efficiently? Definitely do it, because the replacement cost has become crazy.
I have replaced an HVAC unit recently. It was in my previous home about 3 years ago, and it's not fun. And
no.
I can tell you this, Jay, it's a lot more than you think it is. I remember at the time I was thinking that I would spend, I don't know, $6,000 or $7,000 That was in my head, and I had three estimates, and the middle estimate was $19,000.
Yikes.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So
that's a lot of money.
I did go with the lower estimate.
Well, you're not the only American that has selected that route.
Yeah.
But it does underscore, as you said, in your brain, you go, well, how much could it cost? A dollar? No, try $20. Yeah. So, yes, you're absolutely accurate that it's prohibitively expensive. And believe me, changing the filters, a very inexpensive way to at least try to extend the life of your HVAC and keep your house healthier.
Dryer vent. Clean out the lint buildup to prevent fires. It's a fire hazard to have all that lint buildup inside your dryer vent.
Yeah, that's believe it or not, there's a bunch of outdoors guys that love to camp and backpack. They will use dryer lint as a fire starter. So that should tell you that loose lint in that dryer can indeed cause a fire. And there are a number of reputable firms that will be more than happy to come out and clean that out for you. It's not real expensive. It's not cheap. But it's good for peace of mind, because the last thing, Adam, you'd want to do is throw your laundry in the dryer, hit the button, jump in your car, run an errand, and you come home and there's a fire at your house.
And I will suggest something else to check. This is based on personal experience, Jay. A lot of the things we talk about and how you've got damage around your house, these are expert opinions because we've done these things. I had a home with a crawl space, and the dryer vent went under the house and out the side. And I'm not really that I'm not the kind of guy to get in my crawl space and check things out. I'm just not that guy. To my peril, because in my crawl space, my dryer vent had become unconnected at the floor, so that my crawl space was just filling up with the lint. Thank you very much. It was just filling up with this fuzz and lint, and as you say, fire starter. And I did have a sump pump replaced, and the plumber went down there and he did the sump pump, and he came back up and he said, "Hey, you've got a couple hundred pounds.
You got a problem.
You've got some lint down here, buddy." And bless his heart, for just another $50, he was able to just crawl on that side of the house and clean out all that lint for me and get it repaired. So, long story short, my advice is, if you have a crawl space, get down there, or get somebody down there, give somebody a gift card to go down there and make sure that dryer vent is hooked up correctly from the floor to the out of the house through your crawl space.
Excellent advice.
Fire extinguisher. Jay, you got a fire extinguisher in your house or kitchen?
I do, and I have always been careful to make sure that I know the expiration date of the fire extinguisher. In fact, I'll give you a special tip. If you take a Sharpie marker, you can write on your fire extinguisher the exact date that it expires and or needs to be recharged, and then you'll be in the know. You don't have to put your glasses on and squint at a bunch of small print. It'll be right there on the side of your fire extinguisher in big letters.
That's a great idea, and that's an item that you have in your home that you don't need until you need it. And when you need it, you're going to want it to work.
Kidding.
So now this weekend is a good excuse just to go find it, check the expiration date on it, check all the proper, make sure all the pressure is correct and that it's readily accessible for use. And God forbid you'll ever need to use it. Hopefully you won't.
Yeah, hopefully you won't, but it's good to have.
Check your water heater. You don't need to be a professional plumber to do this. Just get on your hands and knees, check for leaks, and make sure it's properly operating the water heater. Refrigerator coils. That's a tough one, because you might have to pull that refrigerator out from the wall to get back there to make sure your refrigerator coils are clear of dust and the condenser coils can maintain efficiency.
And, you know, can I tell you, Adam, many homeowners own a shop vac, and they've used it for a project or two, and now it just sort of sits and doesn't do much of anything. That shop vac is so helpful with said refrigerator. Pull it out a little bit and get that hose under there and go to work and clear it out.
That's one thing I'm going to add to my list is get a shop vac.
There you go.
It's a living document, really. The list keeps growing as you keep talking.
Hey, hopefully I'm saying this properly. We're on a national radio show. But it's very manly to own a shop vac, my friend. It will increase your masculinity. You'll be grunting just like Tim Allen when you get up to the checkout to buy your very own shop vac.
Yeah, you keep it in the garage. You can tell your wife, you're not going to get the shop vac. I'm going to go get the shop vac out of the garage.
Even shop vac sounds masculine.
It does. It's so much better than I'm going to go get the vacuum.
Yeah.
You may have a vacuum. Jay Baker has a shop vac. Light bulbs, Jay. Replace any burned out light bulbs around the house. I know there's nothing more frustrating than walking in a room, reaching down to get the light switch, and the darn thing won't come on. Window coverings, adjust your curtains or blinds to optimize the natural light that comes in and out of the room. Practice fire drills. This is a great time to get together as a family and practice your fire escape plan. Medicine cabinet, go through. This is a good chance to check the expiration dates on all the medicine, not only prescription, but over the counter, from Sudafed to allergy medicine, flu medicine, Tylenol, all the stuff that you use regularly over the course of a year. Check the expiration dates on all those. Toss what's bad, get something new.
You know, that's a great idea, because I did notice the other day I was combing through the medicine cabinet at our house, and there was some Tylenol that had expired during the pandemic, you know, because you just don't use it a lot. So that is a great advice.
You ever, not unlike the medicine cabinet, but there's always that that last frozen dinner at the bottom of the freezer with an expiration date of 2006. Have you found one of those recently?
Yes, it was. But yeah, that was 2006 was a great year, just not such a great year now.
I don't know. You think this one's freezer burned, honey? 2006.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, let's throw
It'll
that away.
Be fine. Yeah.
Or maybe hang on to it till November and then make the call when you change your clocks again. So there's your checklist,
that's
Jay.
Great
and
advice.
I'm glad we've got some more daylight. And I'm glad the winter is not officially over, but to me and to you and our seasonal depression, it's over.
Yes, it does feel at least we're going to kind of get to the summer. And as they've always said, the song says it all. In the summertime, the living is easy.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness. One of your favorite guys, John Oates, will headline a benefit for Hurricane Helene relief in western North Carolina on June 20th in Banner Elk, North Carolina. So add that to another list of some of our rock stars making the world a little bit better place.
And we say this every time, our regular listeners are going to be like, yeah, I know, we get it. But I just want to say again, if you can find some piece of entertainment that you would enjoy to do socially, and the price of your ticket goes to help people through a charity or benefit, that is the best way to go see a concert or do something entertaining. And this is a great example. So just wanted to get that out there
absolutely.
One more time.
No, you're absolutely correct. Vote with your dollars, and it's a way for you to give and get some entertainment. Here's a good story, because we had been giving this story about a year ago that it was trending in the wrong direction, but now it is apparent that more Americans are beefing up their emergency savings. You've always heard you should have some money on hand in case of an emergency. Nearly a third of the adults recently surveyed by Bankrate Corp said they have more money in an emergency fund than they did a year ago. Also, half reported having more savings set aside than credit card debt. That's the one area where I think a lot of people were very concerned. Credit card debt was racking up to an almost insane amount of money.
Yeah, they say that you should have 6 months of the money you would need to live, your bills, your mortgage, your food, what you would need to run your household. You should have 6 months of that amount in a savings account, emergency savings account, just in case. That's your just in case account.
That is exactly what experts are saying. And they also add that there are now more high yield savings accounts. They claim that is one of the best bets to build your nest egg. So we don't want to necessarily give you financial advice, but that is good news. For many years, if you opened a savings account, you know, what was, I mean, on a serious note, it was like 0.5% or 0.33%. And that was not an effective way to build wealth. But there are new high yield savings accounts. Ask your financial expert or banker.
Yeah, don't ask me or Jay. I mean, if you want financial advice, don't. Do not talk to a couple guys on the radio. If we were financially well off, you wouldn't be hearing our voices right now.
Yeah, you just wouldn't. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of money, we've all seen it. There's an IRS rebate scam that is going on as we speak. Texts are going out, and you need to beware. The texts are going out. They want you to believe they're with the IRS. They're text messages that say you need to click a link, and you'll receive a $1,400 payment from the IRS. Here's what you probably already knew. The IRS is warning that the only way they will contact anyone is through the postal service and never through texts or even email. So if you think about it, email sounds pretty official, doesn't it? You get an email from the IRS, guess what? Probably not legitimate.
You know, those scams are just left and right. You can barely get away from them. I had one in the last couple of weeks, and the timing was perfect because here's what, I don't know the math on the scam industry, but they bank on a certain percentage of people having an issue with what the message is about. So let's say you've got some sort of tax issue and you're worried about the IRS and a previous tax you didn't pay. Then you get this message from the IRS about your tax. You're going to think it's legit. Here's one I had. I went and visited my daughters who live in Chicago. I drove through the tollway, and I missed a toll. So I got a letter in the mail. It was legit. It was a picture of my license plate. I owed, I don't know, it was $4.90. So I sent the check off to the Illinois toll road people.
And you feel like sending that check not only took care of your toll, but that's pretty a legit transaction. You weren't clicking on a link or anything like that. And even if it had been totally a fraud, you're only out $4.90.
Well, here's
you're
where
limiting your loss.
Here's where the scam people, you know, their luck was on their side. I started getting text messages from a toll road organization on my tolls that I haven't paid. And,
oh, wow.
And I'm like, I paid that toll. I know I did.
Right.
And I went and I received like 7 of these texts over the course of a week. And I went back and made sure I checked my checkbook. Yeah, I wrote that check. I didn't dream about it. I went to my bank account. Yes, it cleared. They cashed this check. And I brought it up to Melissa and I said, you know, I think there's a new toll road scam going out. And she's like, I just got that text message too.
Yeah.
So if you're getting toll road text messages, first of all, if you don't drive a toll road, you'll know, well, this is a scam. But, you know, there's enough Americans that have driven toll roads or do every day that they're just banking on that percentage of people that actually go, oh, you know what? I probably owe this. I'll click the link. I'll give them my banking number. Here's my routing number. or God forbid, it's a reasonable amount of money. You know, you owe $4.90, but with the penalty, it's up to $50 now. To keep your credit clear, send us $50. You know, some people would just go ahead and do that to get rid of it, get it off their plate. Really do some investigation when you get these emails and text messages claiming you owe money. Because like Jay said, a lot of those things, the official accounts come through the U.S. Postal Office.
Yeah, I think it was kind of cool that the IRS said, yeah, you know, nobody wants to hear from us. But if you do hear something from us, good or bad, it's going to be via the U.S. mail. Here's why the recent scam has been relatively effective for people that think that they may get something from the IRS. The IRS said that recently there's about $2.4 million in total payments that are going out to people who didn't get all of their federal stimulus checks during the pandemic. So that part is legit. The government is actually sending out some money to select people. So yes, if you got a text and you thought, well, you know, the IRS, they may be contacting me to give me a little bit of money because they love me. And the IRS does love you. You know that. but it will not be through a text message. So yes, your tolls and the IRS probably make sure. And that's why we always say, and it's boring, keep your receipts or keep records. As difficult as it is sometimes to keep your checking account because it seems old school, at least you'll have that check that says, yes, I wrote a $4.90 check for this toll, and you'll actually have the canceled check in your possession.
You know, Jay, I didn't even realize when I told that story that a lot of our listeners were just laughing at me because I still write checks.
No, not at all. But isn't it funny where everybody wants it automated and you go back to the old school check where you write it out and you record it in the register and then you wait for the bank to send you the, you know, the canceled check back. And yes, it does seem very old school, doesn't it?
Now, before you think I'm 1,000 years old, I don't write every bill I have with a paper check. I do have online accounts where I just, you know, every month go on, pay online, pay the bill. But, you know, for something like this, I'm afraid to go online to pay this because I just do not want to have another account. A lot of these, you know, the Illinois toll road system, I didn't know if they're going to make me open up a profile with my email and a password. And now I've got there's another platform with an email and password. So I just would rather write the paper check, put it in the mail, and then I'm done. And I don't have to worry about another platform.
And wouldn't you feel, too, that the Illinois Toll Road Commission might have you up on their wall as, you know, deadbeat of the month?
There's your picture. Until I sent that check.
Yeah, there you are, rushing through the toll and everything. I love toll roads because that's another old school thing. And I love the ones where you have to throw change into a basket because my aim is so bad that it's only a 50-50 prop that money will end up where it's supposed to go. Oh. I'm like just spraying the side of the machine with quarters.
I hate you. If you're the guy in front of me, then you throw a fistful of dimes and none of them go in the basket.
None of them. I'm that guy.
All right,
toll
Jay.
Problem number six.
We'll work on your toll road etiquette. Your toll road etiquette needs some work. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and good luck this weekend with your time change and getting your smoke detectors in order and everything else on your checklist. And we'll tell you that list again in 6 months from today. This has been the Adam Ritz Show. You can learn more about us online. Our website is adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.